I'll always love you. I tried so hard.
Welcome everyone to Xena and Uber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 102. This podcast show is for all the Xena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So welcome back everyone. Welcome to another XNU show. To start off the show, the song snippet you hear today is sent in to us from Vanessa, and it's called Shiny Toy Guns, We Are Pilots. So thanks, Vanessa, for that song snippet, and on with the show.
You snapped, haven't you?
Coinciding with the thrilling part, we have the quote of the day, sent in to us from Bobby, my quote winch. She has sent in to us a quote from Mae West, and it goes, "Too much of a good thing can be wonderful." So that is from the great and wonderful Mae West. And thanks, Bobby, for that quote of the week.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Well, in late breaking news, we have just found out that they have done the first gay marriage in Washington, D.C. So congratulations to all those who have been married in D.C. and also across the United States and anywhere else in the world. We hope to see more and more states coming online with that and more countries as we go along. So if you want to check out some more information, check out either Yahoo News or Google it and find out what's going on in your community. Well, last week's show, I gave you the recommendation of True Colors, which we had recommended before on the show. And on this week, I'm going to recommend the sequel to that, which is called Many Roads to Travel. And once again, this is by Karen Surtees and Purfer Blue. Check it out on the Athenium website. And I'll also have a link on my show notes for you to have a read of it. I've just finished reading it, and I highly recommend it. It continues on from the first story, and it answers a lot of questions for you. It does leave you in still a little bit more suspense for other things yet to come, but I don't know if that's what the authors intended to do. But check it out, have a read, and enjoy.
Well, if that is the worst thing that happens today, I'll be thrilled.
Well, on the Western Front, if you keep going around the world, you'll eventually get to us and then go south. On the Western Front, going to ask that everybody, just by the time you download this, whether it be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just take a moment and put my partner and I in your thoughts. Because as of Friday, my partner and I will have to put our two dogs down. Now, the main reason I bring this up is not to put everybody in a sad mood or anything, but to let you know that we all as individuals, whether gay, straight, whatever, for the most part, in our community, in our genre of life, we aren't able to have children for whatever the reason, whether it that we chose not to, whether we choose not to because of who we're with, or whether we choose to as a conscientious choice, or whether we choose not to because physically or by God you weren't able to. We didn't have children. So, my partner and I, obviously, we weren't able to. Not because we didn't want to, but anyway, moving along on that, we have our kids, which are our puppies. Now, there are a lot of people walking the face of this earth who don't consider animals to have emotions or feelings, and they don't understand that, you know, dogs do have feelings. Birds, cats, they all have feelings. I mean, if something happens to them, where do you think they get their sound from when they're crying in pain? But anyway, we have two Border Collie cross Kelpies. And as you all know, we do have a cat. And my little cat, or our cat, our little boy, he's 20, going on 26 years old. No, that is not the oldest living cat. Trust me, there is one older than that, by a long shot. But, you know, we thought we were going to lose him there for a while. And it turns out that the little rat bastard, he's actually made a full recovery and surprised the vet. And at 2:30 in the morning, I can honestly tell you that I do call him a rat bastard because he's waking me up to get him outside. But the vet has been taking care of him, excellent care of him, obviously. And in the meanwhile, also keeping an eye on our dogs. And we've found out that one of our puppies has Cushing's disease. And if anybody knows anything about diseases, or you can look it up, it's not a very nice thing. Diseases are not very nice at all. And it's something that will require 24-hour constant care to keep her. And it's not fair to her to do something like that for our selfishness. And then our other puppy, or our other dog, has severe heart murmur and severe arthritis. So she looks like she's a falling down drunk. And that's not fair on her either. So my partner and I have talked about it, and in conjunction with the vet, and we'll be putting our puppies down to rest on Friday. So the main reason I bring this up is not to sadden anybody, but to say, look, when you have an animal that passes and you just want to talk to somebody about it rather than keep it bottled up, send me an email. I'll talk to you about it. I've got experience in it. But yeah, so spare a moment for us, and I'd greatly appreciate it. So let's get on to the show. Rock on to 102, and keep coming in with recipes, keep coming in with story suggestions, song suggestions, and things like that. If you've read a book or read something or seen a movie, send me an email at zena.uber@gmail.com. So let's rock on into the show.
Come and get me.
A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Second half of part 13. Effany felt the press of humanity behind her, and she exchanged mildly nervous glances with her partner. Getting tight in here. Pony had her arms braced against the wall, ensuring herself some breathing space. The crowd was clustering around the pit now, the atmosphere tense and elevated.
"There's a lot of dinners at stake," she muttered. "Did you hear those people?"
"Yeah." Effany studied their surroundings. "Gonna be ugly if they get disappointed."
"Think that's in doubt?"
Pony gave a man leaning against her an evil look.
"I don't care how big that lug is."
Effany didn't answer immediately. She watched the judges, whispering together as fighting ring was cleared for the final match. Xena should have had one more, but the winner of the last bout had forfeited, citing an injured knee that didn't seem at all evident to the regent's sharp eyes. That left Dennis and Xena to face each other for the top spot. And, as she watched, the big man readied his weapons, putting a final edge on a sword at least a foot longer than her friend's. She wondered. Xena herself was standing to one side, her arms folded over her chest, as she waited, a serious expression on her face. Effany studied her objectively. She'd remembered the gaunt, battered figure that had ended the war with Andreas, and saw little similarity to the sturdy, powerful form that filled Xena's leathers now. The year in between had added layers of solid muscle to the warrior's body, along with a slight bit of soft padding that had taken the stark edge off her features. The armor she wore outlined a very formidable figure, and despite her opponent's larger size, she wasn't dwarfed in any way by him. Dennis was now covered in well-made, pale, tan-hardened leather, an over-tunic that fell halfway down his thighs, with mail covering most his vulnerable areas. He also had a gilded metal breastplate, and plates that covered his lower legs and forearms. Better protected than Xena, Effany realized, but the weight of the armor would slow him down. And one advantage Effany knew her friend had
was her speed and blazing fast reflexes. Those, in fact, had been very evident in her little sparring round with Gabrielle. Gabrielle. Effany shifted her eyes to the bard, who had eased her way up through the crowd and now stood at the edge of the fighting ring, her hands wrapped around the practice stick she used earlier. She staked out her spot, her face quiet and intent as she waited for the fight to start. The torchlight flickered over her body, shadows shifting as she took a deep breath and released it. She's really grown up, hasn't she? Pony snorted.
You see those moves before?
Effany leaned on her elbows. Fighting wasn't bad either, she dryly remarked. Xena's definitely taught her a lot of things besides quarterstaff.
Had me sweating,
Pony admitted.
Remind me not to mess with her anymore, okay?
Effany gave her a mildly surprised look, but returned her gaze to the pit without comment. The judges now broke apart and took up their positions, motioning to two fighters to enter the ring. Xena stepped over the small edge wall, the powerful muscles in her thighs flexing smoothly and very visible in the torchlight. She stood waiting, her pale eyes catching the odd flicker as she watched her opponent approach. Effany suddenly noticed a flash of color near her, and she turned her head to see two militia from Amphipolis nearby. As she glanced around the crowd, she spotted more of them in a rough circle around the pit. Their golden-black surcoats mirrored the strips of cloth around Xena's upper arms, and as the regent watched, Xena's head lifted and a tiny smile appeared as she spotted them as well. Of course, they were vastly outnumbered by the Athenian guard in their teal and white uniforms, but their intent was obvious as they stood by their fellow townswomen and general. Perhaps a score of them, Effany counted. A score of trained farm boys and two Amazons, and down in the pit, Xena's first line of defense in the body of a slight blonde woman holding a nice big stick. Would Athens risk it? Effany checked her weapons and readied herself to find out. Xena felt a sudden sense of foreboding, as though something were wrong at the very edges of her perception. Her eyes went to the crowd, then to her opponent, then to the judges as she tried to identify what set off the warning bells ringing in her head. A threat? She caught a flicker of motion in the tunnel that ducked under the stands and led underground. Her eyes fastened on it, and she recognized the elder of the Athenian council standing in the shadows. As she watched, he met her eyes and smiled. And as the bell for the fight rang, Xena felt the steel doors of a trap close around her, pieces falling into place even as she returned her attention to her larger opponent. 100 details came into blaring focus as she heard the crowd start to roar her name, and she realized the magnitude of the trick she'd stumbled right into. Dennis laughed as he drew his sword and came at her. He wasn't the favorite. Xena groaned to herself in silence. She was. If she won, Athens won, the spirit of the city already behind her and bolstered by Gabrielle's talents and skills.
Son of a Buckeye!
The warrior ducked under the first blow and reacted, deflecting Dennis's sword to her right as she circled to her left. The strength behind the blow left nothing to her imagination as to the quality of the fighter she was facing, and she could see two things now that worried her. One, that he loved fighting the same way she did, and two, that he wanted to win in the worst way.
"I've waited for this,"
Dennis told her, twirling his sword before he executed a quick attack, slamming his weight against her as their boots scuffed against the rock.
"You're the only thing standing between me and freedom."
He brought his hilt down, and she caught it against hers, grips straining against each other.
"Between us and freedom. Us!"
Xena rasped, gritting her teeth as their combined weight surged against her thigh muscles, and she shoved them back.
"My price,"
Dennis grunted.
"The slaves they brought here. I win. We all go free."
He chopped his blade down at her and knocked her hands out of position.
"And all the gold I can carry if I leave you dead in this ring."
"Nice." Xena took a breath.
"You made too many enemies, Xena,"
the gladiator told her.
"The gods hate you. The powerful hate you."
He whirled and kicked out, catching her in the leg and knocking her backwards.
"And I will conquer you."
For a bare moment,
Through the pain, Xena could hear only her own heartbeat. She could hear the fates laughing at her, as the meaning of what was happening hit home. Time slowed, and she almost saw things in slow motion. The crowd roaring, shouting her name. The council smirking into darkness. The slaves, their one hope, facing her. Coldly, her tactician's mind took hold of the facts and laid them out, even as her body reacted in reflex and fended her attacker off. If she won, everything she fought for would fail. Athens would go to war, and Ares would win. If Dennis won, there would be no war. Ares would lose, and the slaves would go free. It seemed like her only course of action was clear. The greater good demanded, forced her down the lesser of two paths, which, after all, only asked one real thing of her. Thousands of Spartans and Athenian lives would be lost in war. Hundreds of slaves would be kept in bondage. Wasn't what she learned over the last 6 years that doing good sometimes demanded sacrifice? Could she talk Dennis into merely accepting victory? No one has to die here. She diverted a savage swing.
You're wrong.
Dennis powered through the blow, and his sword clipped her arm, sending a light spray of blood into the air.
I've heard all about you, about how many people you've killed, and all the destruction you caused. Even if I wasn't getting a dinar, I'd kill you. You're evil, Xena.
There was a small voice quietly said deep inside her, a truth to that. Did she deserve to live, knowing that? Knowing this man, regardless of how it came to be, was in the right? Xena looked hard inside herself, accepting a buffet on the side of her head that made her ears ring as she struggled with the decision she hadn't expected to make. She could taste blood in the back of her mouth. She heard, in faint echo, Ares' laughter. In a moment's clarity, she turned her head, her eyes searching for Gabrielle, an overwhelming need to warn her slashing through her. The bard's figure came into view, and with a sense of shock, Xena realized there was no need to tell her anything. By her very posture, the bard knew. Her head was bent, and as Xena turned, it lifted and their eyes met for an eternal moment. And in that moment, Xena chose her path. Dennis yelled in triumph and brought his sword up, leaping forward and bringing his arms down. His blade flashed in the torchlight, then he stumbled as it struck the ground, its target no longer there. A slash along his back made him whirl to find a dark shadow stalking him, its flickering blade moving now with dangerous speed. He managed to parry the first blow, but the second nicked his arm. He stepped back to regain his composure, but his opponent didn't give him the grace period to do so, and he found himself on the defensive as Xena came at him with a savagery he never expected. He thought he had her. Now the eyes boring into his had gone icy cold, and all traces of humanity were gone from her face. The slices came fast and unstoppable, and his heart stopped to pound as he called on all his skills to meet hers. Their swords met again and again. He went for every trick he'd been taught, and every skill he'd honed in years of war before and after his capture. His freedom was so close, and only this woman was keeping him from it. He fought tenaciously, seeking holes in her defenses, seeking a crack in the quicksilver darkness facing him, finding none. She was driven by a fire as bright as his own. He didn't see it coming. One moment he was looking to get the tip of his sword inside her reach. The next moment, his world exploded, something hitting his head with tremendous force and sending him to his knees. His hands went numb, and he felt his sword drop from his nerveless fingers. Then something hit the side of his neck, and darkness took him as quietly and instantly as that. Gabrielle heard the yells, the roar of the crowd that surged over her in a wall of noise that rattled her back teeth. She had her eyes closed, her head resting against the stick, clamped in fingers so tightly they ached. The noise sorted itself out into something recognizable, her soulmate's name. She lifted her head then and let her eyes open, turning them towards the pit for the first time since she understood what the stakes were in this stupid, hateful contest. It took a moment and several blinks of her eyelids before her mind recognized what she was seeing. Dennis lay on the ground, covered in blood. Xena was straightening up over him, the warrior's body also stained red, as she lifted a sword that dripped with it. Gabrielle let her eyes close again, and she leaned on the fighting staff, her body shaking so hard she almost fell, as a dire sense of guilty relief surged through her. After a moment, a hand touched her arm, and she moved towards its owner, her fingers touching cold metal and warm leather, as the scent of sweat and blood surrounded everything.
"Let's go."
Xena's voice was quiet and very calm.
"We're done here."
Slowly, the numbness wore off, and she found it easier to breathe. The noise above her became a chant, and she was suddenly aware of Effany and Eponin next to and behind her as she circled Xena with her arms and looked around. The pit was filling with happy Athenians, who jumped off the walls and clamored around Xena. A wall of yellow and black swirled towards them, and then they were surrounded by their neighbors, who were as fiercely happy as anyone. All they could do was follow the flow of humanity down the long tunnel and hope there was a moment of peace to be found at the end of it. Xena slipped out of the huge common room onto the front steps of the stadium, facing a now empty street full of oil, smoke, and starlight. She found a spot at the base of a large, naked statue and sat down, letting her elbows rest on her aching knees. So much had happened so quickly. She just needed a moment to catch her breath. It was quiet out here, and there was a cool breeze. She let her head lean back against the statue's stone thigh as she listened to the clamor still audible behind her. Footsteps, very welcome ones, detectable even in all the noise. Xena rolled her head to one side and glanced up as Gabrielle came even with her, and they spent a few moments just looking at each other.
"Let me take care of that cut,"
the bard said finally, in a very quiet voice. She unclasped the warrior's armor on her right side, then leaned over to get the left, lifting the breastplates off and setting them to one side. Xena merely sat back and watched as Gabrielle took on the cloth and a small bowl of water she'd gotten from somewhere and carefully cleaned the painful gash on her shoulder. It wasn't really a dangerous cut, but Xena appreciated her partner's need to care for her and didn't resist, finding it easier to simply relax under the ministrations as the day started catching up with her. She thought about thinking about what she'd done, and decided she didn't want to. It was easier just to gaze up at the stars and curl her arm around Gabrielle's leg, savoring the familiar feel.
"See?"
"Hmm?"
Gabrielle kept her eyes on the smooth skin she was washing off.
"That was pretty scary."
"Yeah."
"Did you realize what was going on?"
"Yeah."
The bard worked in silence for a bit.
"We screwed up, didn't we?"
"Yeah."
Xena agreed.
"Should have seen that one coming. We walked right into it."
She shifted a little.
"Lose by winning. Ares warned me. I should have listened."
"Did I hear him right? Did he say they were going to let all the slaves go if he won?"
Xena nodded.
"He wanted to kill you."
Another nod.
"He thought he was doing the right thing."
"Yes, he did."
The warrior admitted softly.
"I think he was."
There was an absolute silence from Gabrielle for a long time. She kept working, putting a few neat stitches in the warrior's skin.
"If you really thought that,"
the bard finally said, her voice lightly strained. The fingers that touched Xena's shoulder were shaking.
"Oh, sweetheart." "I do,"
Xena said.
"He was fighting for his freedom, Gabrielle. For those other slaves. For a better life for himself. And I knew by winning, I'd let the council win. Athens will go to war. Ares got what he wanted."
She paused, watching a donkey cart slowly cross in front of them.
"I won. The greater good lost."
A horn sounded, far off, and cheers followed. As they faded, Gabrielle put her supplies down, straightened, then laid a hand on Xena's cheek, gazing at her seriously.
"We've been fighting for the greater good for 6 years, Xena."
Xena felt curiously peaceful.
"I know," she agreed readily. "But in everyone's life, there are things that go beyond the greater good."
Her eyes lifted and captured the bard's.
"And that's what you are for me."
She waited for Gabrielle to take a breath to protest, and she spoke over her, covering the hand still cupping her cheek.
I saw the look in your eyes, Gabrielle. I felt what you felt when you knew what was happening. Don't tell me you wanted me to do anything else.
She felt a jolt, as though she'd taken a hit in her own guts. But this wasn't the time for anything but the truth, and they both knew it. The bard sat down next to her, studying her clasped hands, while Xena waited patiently. She could see the shifting muscles in Gabrielle's face, and sensed the confusion almost radiating from her soulmate. An eternity passed, with her on the nervous edge of folding Gabrielle up into her arms and just brushing the question away.
No,
the bard whispered at last.
I didn't want you to do anything else.
She sucked air into her lungs.
But I don't want my selfish desires to be the reason you turn your back on redemption either.
She barely got the last words out, her throat closing as she let her head rest against her hands.
No matter what it costs me.
Xena put an arm around Gabrielle's shoulders, hugging her close as she acknowledged a truth about her she never would have suspected before. She'd always taken it for granted that the two of them, Gabrielle was stronger emotionally than she was. In that one eternal moment in that ring, when their eyes met, she found out that wasn't true. Gabrielle needed her like she needed air and water and food. And in that one moment's revelation, everything else became irrelevant, and her choices narrowed only to a single one. Surviving. She promised Gabrielle she'd never leave her, and the bard believed in that, believed in her. So, if that was selfish, then it was. She couldn't help that. There was nothing in her past she could change, but there was something in her present that might create for her a different future. Gabrielle. Xena pulled her partner's head close so that her lips were close to the bard's ears.
I haven't turned my back on anything.
Gabrielle lifted her head and looked at her, their noses almost brushing, her gaze open and trusting, yet questioning all the same.
You are my redemption,
the warrior whispered, brushing the backs of her knuckles across the bard's soft cheeks. After a moment, the bard blinked, then started breathing again.
Oh.
So, Xena leaned her head against Gabrielle's. How about we find a nice quiet spot, and a bathtub, and a jug of something that's going to make us forget we own this town tonight?
Very slowly, a smile found its way to Gabrielle's face.
All right,
she said.
Let's do that.
Without further debate, they stood up and clasped hands, then started down the stairs towards the road, under the stars' watchful twinkle. Daphne shoved her way through the crowd with Pony right behind her. Annoyed looks in their directions quickly turned to a respectful movement out of the way, and they finally got through the athletic housing area. Here, it went from chaos to bedlam. The athletes filled the space, some celebrating, some bitching, all seemingly glad the games were over at last. Daphne, sure as Hades, was glad. They'd lost track of Xena and Gabrielle after they left the arena, and while she was sure her queen and her queen's concert could more than take care of themselves, the situation was just too wild and unsure for her not to want to be, well, sure. Now where? She stood up on her toes, peered over the crowd, searching for Xena's tall form.
Come on, they're not in here.
Pony pulled her arm.
They're probably in their quarters.
Think so? Daphne still kept looking.
Pick between this nightmare zoo and being alone with each other.
Good point. Daphne allowed herself to be towed along down side corridor, and they headed towards the back hall that once held the room her friends had been issued. Going round the next corner, however, they almost plowed right into one of the subjects of their search.
Whoa!
Gabrielle pulled up quickly enough to avert a collision and put a hand on the corridor wall to steady herself.
Hey,
she said after a breath.
Sorry we disappeared on you.
You guys okay? Daphne asked cautiously, studying the bard's face in the flickering light of the oil lamp. Gabrielle met her gaze, and for a moment, Daphne swore she was catching a glimpse of the kid she first met in the forest all those years ago.
Gabrielle?
A blink, a rub of the eyes, and it was gone.
Yes, we're fine. Xena's got a few cuts, but it's nothing. Her knee's killing her, though.
She's just soaking,
Gabrielle replied.
You guys get out of there all right? What a mess.
We're fine,
Effany said.
Where are you headed?
Get something to eat. Where?
Gabrielle paused as though reflecting on the words. Her lips shaped unconsciously into a smile.
Both starving.
A breath.
And I wanted to go check on Dory.
Right.
Pony turned and left, without so much as a switch from Effany, and headed back down the corridor, towards the main room. Gabrielle frowned after her, giving Effany a puzzled look.
What was that all about?
The Amazon Regent put a hand on her queen's shoulder, feeling the sturdy bone and muscle shift and straighten.
She's just doing her job, taking care of her queen, she explained, and leaving me the task of getting Dory for you.
Effany's eyes twinkled.
I can do that,
Effany stated.
Sure, but where's the fun in catering to your every whim if you don't let us?
Her friend countered lightly.
It's been a long day for you, she added, with a touch more seriousness. I'm glad it's over.
Gabrielle looked at her, the bard's expression suddenly wide open.
Me too,
she admitted in a soft voice. Effany followed her instincts and stepped forward, enfolding her younger friend in a hug. She half expected Gabrielle to resist, but to her pleasure the bard returned the hug fully. There was a hint of brass, leather, and blood about her that Effany could just sniff, and the smoke of the torchlight clung to the pale head it tucked next to her. She rubbed Gabrielle's bare back gently and gave her another squeeze. She felt the bard's body relax, then hand patted her side as they parted, and she took the liberty of cupping Gabrielle's face and just looking into her eyes for a very long moment. There were no words needed. The memories they both held in common were plain in the air between them. Effany leaned forward and gently gave her queen a kiss on the forehead, then released her.
So let me go get your terrible too,
she said with a deliberate lightness. Go help the tall, dark, and dangerous one wipe her ears. Gabrielle gazed gently at her for a moment, then nodded.
Okay, thanks.
She smiled as Effany winked at her, then she watched the regent turn and leave, disappearing into the shadows of the corridor. They were such good friends, she reflected. Sometimes they didn't understand the complex relationship between her and Xena, but they were always there, ready to help if they could. A brief memory surfaced of the 3 days she spent with the Amazons after Solon had been killed by Hope. Flashback. She remembered clearly wanting nothing more than to die. The pain of what had happened, of what she caused, was so great, was burning her from inside out, and the echo of Xena's furious words were like never-ending sound that nothing could block out.
Gabrielle, listen to me! Effany's voice held a note of angry desperation. You're not alone in this!
And Gabrielle looked up at her, knowing she could never really understand.
I could be in the middle of the village, surrounded by every Amazon in the world, and I'd still be alone here.
Yells of alarm outside. Pony's voice.
Effany! She's coming!
Did you hear that, Gabrielle? Do you know what that means?
Effany shook her.
Yes,
Gabrielle whispered.
It means, one way or another, it's going to stop hurting.
Hoofbeats drumming on the only salvation she could hope for. End flashback.
No, Effany had not understood that. Gabrielle exhaled, acknowledging the long, faded ache coated over by longer, happier memories since then. But she tried to help, tried to be there for Gabrielle then, as she had the time before, as she doubtless would have been had it all gone wrong tonight. Gabrielle finally faced that thought. She knew how Xena's mind had worked, saw the sweeping realization come over her partner as the stakes suddenly changed in the middle of all the chaos. All those slaves, all those soldiers, Ares triumph. She knew it all. Gabrielle knew it all, and she knew what the hero's route would be out of that stinking pit. The oil lamp flickered on one side of her, and Gabrielle looked up at it reflectively. Would have made a good story, too, wouldn't it? That bad old ex-warlord Xena finally redeems herself by sacrificing her life to liberate Athens' slaves and prevent a war with Sparta by bankrupting the council's coffers and foiling the god of war. Nice end cap to a life. Good moral to the story. But she didn't do it. Gabrielle let her head rest against the wall. She didn't do it not because she couldn't,
because of me. Because it was more important to her to stay with me and live and love me than it was for her to be that hero. Her conscience knew how wrong that was. Her heart was soaring with the knowledge. For a moment she stood there, her arms crossed over her chest. Before she turned and went back the way she came, she reached the door to their room and pushed it open, slipping inside and pausing just to look. The plain room was lit with a warm candlelight, turning its white stone walls to buttery gold from the candle spread all over the place. Xena's armor was piled neatly in one corner for later cleaning, and there were two light shifts laid out waiting for both of them. The large tub had two candles at its head, and it was currently filled with faintly steaming water. And a peacefully sprawling warrior, whose arms were draped over the sides as she lazily regarded the ceiling.
"That was fast,"
Xena commented.
"I was intercepted by some very solicitous Amazons."
Gabrielle walked over and rested her forearms on the tub's rim. Through the water's ripple, she could see Xena's body. It was a tanned surface, marred by several small cuts and bruises, but otherwise intact. Experimentally, she stuck her hand in the water and touched one of the slices across the lower part of her partner's ribs. Xena reached up and tugged her hair a little.
"Come in here with me."
Miss Green Eyes lifted up to hers.
"Effany and Eppinern are coming back in a few minutes."
"So?"
"Yeah,
so?"
Gabrielle straightened, then knelt to unlace her boots and shake them off before she stripped out of her skirt and top, tossing them over to rest by Xena's discarded leathers.
"With Dory."
"And?"
Gabrielle eased her now naked body into the tub, relishing both the warm water and the even warmer skin, as Xena pulled her to a spot between the warrior's legs and wrapped a pair of long arms around her middle. She leaned back against Xena's body as her hands drifted down to the powerful thighs, stroking them lightly.
"How's your leg?"
"Keep doing that, and I wouldn't care if you amputated it,"
Xena purred into her ear. That made Gabrielle smile in pure reflex, and she glanced up over her shoulder at her soulmate. She decided she liked the view, so she half-turned and put her head down on Xena's shoulder, content to just look at her profile. The warrior returned the look briefly, then lifted a hand to wipe a smudge of something off Gabrielle's face.
"You doing okay?"
"What makes you ask?"
"You're not talking."
Gabrielle couldn't quite suppress a chuckle.
"I'm just thinking about a lot of stuff. That's all,"
she admitted.
"And I'm really tired."
"You look it."
Xena's thumb dropped to touch her just under her eye, where shadows were evident.
"Me too."
The bard batted her eyelashes at her and reached up, carefully poking a finger in her own ear and shaking it, then removing it.
"Sorry, must have had water in my ear. Didn't hear that last bit."
One of Xena's eyebrows started crawling up to her forehead.
"I spend an entire day running, throwing, battling off ambushers, and pit fighting. Don't I have a right to be tired?"
"Yes, honey, you too."
Gabrielle found the warmth of the water and of Xena's body enfolding and relaxing her.
"It's just weird hearing you say it."
She lifted her hand out of the water and traced Xena's jawline, feeling the muscles shift under her touch.
"I'm so damn glad this is over."
Xena hugged her closer, and they floated together in silence. After a few moments, she took the soap and started to lightly scrub Gabrielle's skin, releasing the soap's spicy fragrance into the air. The bard seemed content to just curl up against her and accept the attention, her expressive face still and reflective. Xena had to admit she was a little worried, since the last time Gabrielle retreated into her self-introspection had been after her return from the lava pit, and her silence had frightened the still emotionally shaken warrior badly. Not surprisingly, since the time before that had been in the heart of their estrangement. Xena rubbed her partner's damp hair with the soap, then cupped water in her hand and rinsed it, finally retrieving a smile as the bard blinked the drops out of her eyes and rubbed the itchy nose against her shoulder. She blew in the pink ear near her and got another smile. This one was broader and extending up into a crinkle, the bridge of Gabrielle's nose, and on the skin on either side of her eyes. Gabrielle finally exhaled, letting her eyes flutter shut for a brief instant before she looked up again. She reached up and pulled Xena's jaw over, then lifted herself up and kissed her on the lips with heartfelt passion.
"Okay, so maybe sometimes words were just pointless."
Xena responded to the welcome advance and gazed steadily into Gabrielle's eyes when they separated to take a breath.
"Thank you,"
Gabrielle said simply. Xena felt herself smile.
"My heart and my conscience were having a fist fight."
Gabriel explained.
And my heart went by a landslide, and I was just sort of getting used to that feeling.
Xena regarded her solemnly. Used to it now?
Gabriel nodded firmly. Yeah,
she said.
Whatever happens from this, we'll deal with it.
She rested her chin on Xena's bare shoulder.
You and me.
Xena dabbed the bit of soda on the barge nose. You bet we will, my love. She agreed softly.
The bard exhaled contentedly. Should we get out of this bathtub before we have half of Athens in here?
The warrior bent her neck and they kissed again. Gabriel's body pressed against hers, and the bard's arms wound around her, pulling her closer in a sudden surge of passion. They both drew in simultaneous breaths as the door opened and slammed against a stone wall. Blue and green eyes met. There was absolutely no reason for both of them to be grinning.
What is going on here?
Xena leaned an arm on the edge of the tub and peered over it, keeping a hastily assembled look of irritation firmly in place.
What's the matter? Been a while?
She asked, meeting the eyes of the elder judge she remembered from the race start.
What does it look like?
Gabrielle had taken the high road, that of submerging almost completely and hiding her face against Xena's shoulder. The intruders included the elderly judge, two attendants, and six big, husky men dressed in the tunics of the stadium guards. The guards, all younger men, looked across between embarrassed and bored.
We've got a serious complaint against you,
the elder said.
Me?
Xena propped her head up against one hand.
Boy, do you have a line to stand in?
Tiny little bubbles emerged from Gabrielle's mouth, just under the water.
A fellow athlete has represented to us that you are not what you seem to be.
Xena scratched her jaw.
Okay, she exhaled. You got me. I'm not.
Ah!
I'm really a centaur,
the warrior informed him.
I was separated from my half back at birth.
More tiny bubbles.
That is not what we were told,
the elder stated firmly.
The woman who raced against you claimed foul because you are a man.
Xena was caught fairly by surprise.
Huh?
Yes,
the elder said.
As we all know, the men who give you allowances to are women, and the women treat each other differently. Pretending to be a woman will disqualify you.
The warrior rubbed her forehead, unable to quite believe what she was hearing.
I'm not a man,
she muttered, watching Gabrielle almost bite her lip through to keep from laughing.
Beg pardon, sir?
I said.
Xena gave him a dire look.
I'm not a man.
That's what you say, of course.
The elder waved his finger at her.
The evidence is quite clear.
With a long-suffering sigh, Xena put both hands on the edge of the tub and pushed herself to her feet, and missed a tinkling of water as it sheeted down off her body and sprinkled Gabrielle.
I said.
She stepped over the edge of the tub and sauntered over to them, pausing as she reached the group and shaking herself vigorously like a dog. A spray of water coated their faces, dripping off the hanging jaws with satisfying splats.
I'm not a man.
She spread her arms to either side and lifted her eyebrows.
We clear on that now?
The elder covered his eyes with one hand, though his spread fingers ruined the effect.
Could we check?
Xena let her hands rest on her hips.
Only if you don't mind spending the rest of your life with one hand and a stump.
She let her eyes fasten on the nearest guard, who had big, round hazel eyes. They promptly rotated and found the ceiling. As the man dropped like a stone, his limbs flopping on the ground like a selection of very dead fish. Xena frowned.
Guess you cut off the flow of blood to his brain, hun.
Gabrielle's voice drawled from behind her.
I'm terribly sorry,
the elder man stammered.
The woman seemed so sure. She said you told her, and after the fight we saw.
Deciding he was getting himself in deeper with every syllable, the man simply turned and shushed his retchwinny out ahead of him.
Forgive me, never mind, terrible mistake, sorry.
Hey, can't we?
The youngest guard spoke up suddenly.
Shoo, out!
The elder smacked him in the butt. The boy jumped and squeaked.
Out!
He shoved the guard out in front of him.
I don't understand this. I'm too old for this. I must rest, I must go home. I must have wine. Out!
Hey, watch who you're shoving!
Effany evaded the outgoing beefcake and slipped inside, stopping short on confronting the equally unexpected naked warrior in front of her.
Hera's left tit!
What the Hades are you doing?
Posing for my Winner's statue? Zenas told her dryly, as the last of the men left and slammed the door closed behind them. This angle good for me?
Oh!
Dory squeaked in delight, struggling to free herself from the Amazon region's grasp.
Boo, 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 boo!
Zena. Effany reached her armful and straightened up, looking around the room. She spotted a pair of green eyes, set in a sleeky damp head, peeking over the edge of the tub. What are you two up to? Zena scooped her daughter up and tossed her in the air, then caught her. Hey, shorty. Dory hugged her with enthusiasm. So, Effany looked first at the disembodied head in the tub, then at the very embodied naked woman. You going to fill me in, or am I left here to start rumors? Zena chuckled and shook her head as she walked over to their gear and retrieved the linen towel. She managed to juggle Dory and the towel and get one wrapped around her while keeping hold of the other in a display of truly remarkable coordination. He was questioning my sex. The utter silence behind her made Zena's ears prick. She turned her head and looked back over her shoulder. What? Effany carefully cocked her head to one side. What was the question? She asked, holding back a grin. Or was the old goat just looking for pointers? Gabrielle cleared her throat.
Someone told him Zena was a guy.
She lifted herself out of the tub and shook her hands, shedding droplets of water everywhere. The regent perched on the arm of the low couch and slapped the side of her head. You're not serious.
Mama!
Dory suddenly realized the identity of the damn person on the other side of her current perch.
Gimme!
She scrambled over the top of Zena's shoulder and into Gabrielle's waiting arms.
Mama!
I don't know. I think these city people need to get out more.
Zena was ruffling her dark hair dry. All the stink in this place must have gone to their heads. Gabrielle wrangled her daughter skillfully.
Honey, could you... Ah, thanks.
She gave Zena a grateful look as the warrior toweled her off, consciously or unconsciously stepping between her and Effany to provide a modicum of privacy. Zena was, of course, bigger than she was. It worked out pretty good, and Gabrielle took the opportunity to lean over and give her a kiss. She felt Zena's hands pause for a moment, then continue their task.
So what did you do today, Dory Boo?
Go, cat, go!
Dory advised her seriously.
Go see horses.
Kate took you to see the horses. That's great.
Gabrielle eased herself into a shift, then took Dory and sat down on the couch, extending her bare legs across the stone floor and flexing her toes.
Sit down, Eff.
Effany joined her on the couch, leaving Zena to finish retrieving her clothing. The warrior listened to them chatter for a bit as she tugged on a comfortable shirt over her head and let its folds settle over her tired body. As always, now that it was over and the excitement of battle drained from her, the injuries she'd taken were starting to make themselves known. Dennis had gone for her knees, evidently knowing her weak point, and the joint was now once more again swollen and throbbing from a vicious kick. She also had, she figured, at least 2 cracked ribs, and she was wrenched something in her back that was making it hard to bend over. With a tiny sigh, she sat down on the windowsill to put her soft indoor boots on, then left one booted foot crossed on her knee and leaned her elbow on it. She rested her chin on her fist and just watched Gabrielle and Dory. Things were all right. She nodded to herself.
Hey, Z.
The bard turned her head and looked behind her.
What are you doing way over there?
Zena stood up and walked over, not quite able to suppress her limp. Gabrielle scooted over, and she settled on the edge of the couch, easing her leg out straight and trying not to breathe too deeply. Still a mess outside? She asked Effany.
Oh, yeah.
The Amazon nodded. So, now tell me, they didn't really think you were a man, did they? She gazed at the warrior in amusement. I mean, Zena, for Zeus's sake, even in armor you'd have to be stone blind to think that.
Thanks, Zena replied. I think.
The door opened again, and Eponin struggled inside, her arms full of a huge tray and a basket hanging from one arm.
Son of a fucking butt-sucking!
Hey, there's a kid in here, Effany warned. Pony managed to peek over the top of the tray.
Oh, come on, I'm sure she's...
A pause.
Oh, Eamon, Dory!
She muttered as she managed to get the basket and the tray on the table. Gabrielle snorted.
Are you two looking to be made elders early or something? I'm not a kid anymore, okay?
She held down a lock of her damp hair.
I have grays, even!
Effany had gotten up to help Pony unload, and now peeked back over her shoulder.
Do ya?
Yes.
No.
Xena disagreed.
Xena?
You don't. The warrior grabbed a handful of pale hair and tugged. Just 1,000 shades of blonde, she said. Come here, look for yourself. Thus invited, Effany ambled over and peered at her queen's head.
Looks pretty blonde to me,
she grinned.
Though, now that I think of it, I got my first few grays around your age.
Her eyes drifted to Xena's nearby scalp.
Didn't you, Xena?
Gabri pulled her hair loose and ran her fingers through it as she leaned back.
She doesn't have any,
she answered, Effany in a mild tone.
Never been able to find one.
Effany and Eponin exchanged glances as the weapon master walked over with her basket.
No kidding,
Pony asked.
Wow, you looked out.
Xena shrugged, a touch uncomfortable by the 3 sets of eyes examining her dark locks. She held out her hand to Dory, who crawled agreeably over and sat in her lap.
Boo, hussy go bap bap.
Dory slapped her hand against her parents.
Go poof 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 poof.
She blew out air in her lips in sloppy splatter. There was an awkward silence. Then Effany chuckled and patted Gabrielle on the shoulder. Well, I know you two need to get some rest. We heard outside that they made a big ceremony tomorrow, so take it easy, okay?
We will.
Gabrielle clasped her hands.
Thanks for everything, both of you. Really appreciate it.
See you in the morning. Effany got up and Pony joined her. Maybe we can all do breakfast down where we're staying.
Good idea.
Xena spoke up, her eyes on the small hand exploring hers.
Then we can make plans to get out of here.
She smiled at Dory, who grinned back.
You want to go home, Munchkin?
Go!
Dory patted Xena's hands with hers.
Be good!
The two Amazons left, the open door admitting the start of a very noisy party outside. Xena made a small sound of grumpy protest, then sighed. Gabrielle got up and grabbed one of the heavy chairs, dragging it after her until she reached the door. She shoved the piece of furniture against the latch, wedging it tightly before stepping back to review her handiwork. Then she walked over to the table and picked up 2 of the trenchers, loading them down with sliced meat, fruits, and other goodies. Much as she liked both Effany and Eponin, she was glad they left. She carefully added 2 nut cakes to the trencher, their tops dripping with honey. It was hard to describe how she felt. Raw, almost as though she was missing a layer of skin. She added a small bowl for Dory to her armful, then turned to carry everything back to the couch, her eyes going to her family as she walked. Dory was curled up in Xena's arms, one hand clutching Xena's shirt, the other with its thumb stuck firmly in her mouth. She had her head down on the warrior's shoulder, and Xena was just giving the child's head a kiss.
Z?
Hmm?
Xena looked up, a smile crossing her face. Gabrielle completely forgot what she was going to say, so she just smiled back and sat down, arranging the trenchers on both her laps. Dory burbled approvingly.
Good.
Here you go, sweetie.
Gabrielle murmured, handing her the bowl. Then she set to work cutting up the meats, picking up a chunk, and offering it to her waiting soulmate.
Here you go, sweetie.
Hmm.
Xena's eyes twinkled.
Good.
She nibbled Gabrielle's fingers and gave the tips of them a lick as she took a tidbit. Gabrielle caught her lower lip in her teeth and shook a finger at her.
Ooh, you little teaser.
Little?
Xena made a show of glancing up and down at her length, then did the same to her partner's, as the bard reached over and tweaked her nose.
Excuse me, your midget majesty.
Pfff!
Gabrielle squirmed closer and leaned against Xena, resting her head against the warrior's shoulder as she continued her feeding. She felt an unusual sense of giddiness, probably compounded from the long day, the stress, and...
And what?
Hey, little piggy. Xena broke a chunk of meat in half so Dory could fit it into her mouth. Did Mama ever tell you the story of when she got an orange stuck like that and spit seeds out of her nose?
Don't you tell her about that,
Gabrielle said, biting off another surge of laughter.
She'll be trying it next. How do you remember all that stuff? That was forever ago, Xena.
The warrior chuckled briefly.
I remember that because it was the first time I tried to get you annoyed for doing something, and all I could think of was how cute you looked,
she admitted.
With pits coming out of my nose?
Gabrielle covered her eyes and moaned.
Yeah.
Xena murmured, hesitating, then continuing in a softer voice.
It'd been so long since I met someone into my heart. I'd forgotten what it was like.
She handed Dory over another carrot,
but it felt really good.
I remember it hurting like Hades,
Gabrielle admitted with a grin.
I was so embarrassed. What you thought meant so much to me.
She handed over a slab of bread, their eyes meeting as she did so. looking down at a moment later as a wash of unexpected emotion came over her.
Still does, you know.
Gabrielle sensed the touch before she felt it, the warm fingers capturing her jaw and lifting it, tilting her face up. The raw, open feeling increased, but she had no option other than to let her gaze travel up from Xena's collarbone until they were looking once again into each other's eyes.
I know. Xena stroked her cheek tenderly. That's why I felt so safe in giving you my heart.
The sentiment stunned her. Gabrielle was caught there, the connection between them rearing up and taking her over utterly, something that hadn't happened to her in a very, very long time. She could see her soul, very clearly, reflected in Xena's equally spellstruck expression, and for a string of heartbeats, the world just stood still. Then they both took a breath, simultaneously, as the raucous sounds outside resumed.
Something's changed,
Gabrielle breathed.
Hasn't it?
Xena blinked, then gave the tiny shake of her head.
No,
she uttered.
Something's the same again. Her voice was rough, like it was before.
Before the Furies, before Britannia, before the world had gained all the shades of somber gray. Dory sat quietly, her round eyes going from one face to the other, apparently in fascination. Gabrielle pondered the idea in silence, then her face relaxed suddenly into a big, sunny grin.
You're right.
She couldn't even say what exactly the difference was, but she knew it when she felt it.
Wow, I like it.
Xena returned a grin with a wholehearted one of her own.
Me too.
There were, she had to acknowledge to herself, some things it just didn't pay to question.
Mama, do good.
Dory patted her mother's face.
Make fun.
Make fun?
Gabrielle repeated.
How about this?
She stuck out her tongue and waggled it, making a weird noise at the same time. Dory giggled happily and tried grabbing at the wiggling flesh.
Mama! Mama!
Gabrielle found her mouth filled with honey cake. Teach you to be sticking things out at little kids. Xena chortled. Gabrielle made a grab at the remaining cake and dodged Xena's hands, then managed to get a fistful all over her soulmate's face, evading her snapping teeth by a hair.
Ha!
Xena's tongue appeared, licking up smears of honey.
Hmm.
She waggled her eyebrows suggestively, then burst into laughter as Dory stood up and grabbed for cake crumbs, clutching the warrior's lower lip and pulling.
Good idea.
Gabrielle set the platters aside and got up, taking the rest of the cake with her as she joined Dory in assaulting the helpless, chuckling victim.
Mmm.
She licked Xena's lower lip and smashed more cake onto her, sending a cascade of it all over everything. Xena's eyes opened wider as a piece of cake the size of her little finger ended up on her cheek and was immediately snatched by Dory.
Hey! You started it.
Gabrielle sucked on the tip of her nose.
You're ours, and we've got you right where we want you. Right, Dory?
Good!
Xena slipped her arms around both of them and pulled them into a hug, squishing them, her and the cake, into a messy combination of laughter and honey. It sweetened an already unbearably sweet moment, and right then, if the entire world had collapsed around her, Xena never would have even noticed. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode number 102, and that is chapter, or part 13, of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. I hope everyone is enjoying the show. Please keep sending in your recipes and any suggestions for the stories or any music clips, book recommendations or movie recommendations, because I haven't gotten any of those lately, but I know life is difficult and everybody has things to do. But if you do get a chance, please send me in your recipes. I would love to have them, and I will put them on the Traveling Barge Recipe Corner and update that every so often. And suggestions for future song snippets. If you have any announcements you'd like to make or any dedications, please send them in to xena.uber@gmail.com. In closing, I'd like to dedicate this show to my little girls, Nikki and Bonnie, and they will rest in heaven with love and affection. So until the next episode, everyone, take care and enjoy life of love. Bye-bye.